when I first started practicing meditation back in the late 1960s, even before I went to Mount Baldy, I had a job working in the library at Case Western Reserve University. And my practice was pretty intense. And every afternoon around 2 or 3 o'clock, I would go into these involuntary withdrawals where consciousness sucked me lower and lower into myself till I saw a great white light that I was falling towards. That scared the hell out of me because I knew it was death of me. And on during the years, that state comes back. It still takes me deep inside. Deep down. Way beyond consciousness. Today it took me very deep. I saw once again the truth that my real nature is entirely beyond consciousness. That anything said or experienced in consciousness can't possibly tell us anything about the prior to conscious state, the absolute. You imagine that you're at the center of a wheel that's turning. In the absolute center, there's almost no movement. You just change direction, 0 degrees to 90 to 180, 270, but there's no motion. Just rotate. The calm center. Then you start following consciousness outwards, the words, the experiences. And things go faster and faster. You become involved in it. The drama. The machination. The hurt feelings. Love. Hate. Desire, compassion. All of those happen in consciousness and happen to your sense of self. But in the center, there's no movement. You know, where this comes and goes. Consciousness comes and goes. One year you're born. A few years later you become self-aware. And the I Am is born. There's some principle to which all of this has occurred. There's some principle to which this knowingness and all these experiences have occurred. And the ultimate goal of traditional spirituality, Advaita, Zen, is to know this. That unborn self, the part that is not part of this world, but which observes the world. Most of the time we have to go deep in meditation time after time after time to find this state, first, like a knowledge, a conviction that you are there prior to consciousness. And then you have an experience of passing through consciousness. The entire world out there, and the world inside that you see, Visarkadatta's teacher called the causal body. He passed through the causal body, as Rajiv did many, a couple years ago now. And you realize in a way that's beyond consciousness. Apprehend that you are prior to consciousness. You always were prior to consciousness, and you always will be prior to consciousness. And then consciousness comes. And the I am is born. I am. I am. I am. And this overtakes us, and we identify with the I am, and then the I am identifies with the body and the feelings and the emotions, but mostly with the body. And we lose our identity as the absolute. And as spiritual beings, we struggle to get back to that identification, the principle beyond existence, another dimension. Entirely beyond existence, beyond consciousness. There are several ways to get to that absolute state. There's a man by the name of Harding wrote a book on having no head, has lots of exercises that you can practice that intuitively let you know a bit about that absolute state. You can practice self-inquiry, trying to find the location of the eye and stare into the empty space, but then you think you are that empty space, and that's a misidentification. It's only another phenomena within consciousness. Or you can identify with the I am, that sense of self, the sense that I exist, that I am sentient, that I am perceiving, that I am feeling, that I am alive. And gradually that sense of I am gels, purifies. Becomes lighter, becomes more powerful, becomes more all-knowing. And the I am begins to reveal to you a nature of consciousness and of your true self. And you have to love the I am. I am. I am. And many people find the I am through love. For in loving they find I am. In loving they find I am. In loving they find I am. Can too. But the I am is only a vessel. It's not the end. The involvements of the I am are not the end. Purification of the I am is not the end. The love the I am feels is not the end. One day, consciousness takes you deep. Takes you to a place where you watch comings and goings of all states of consciousness. And you're there as a witness. No passion. No emotions. No love. Can you watch the comings and goings, the states of consciousness and the objects in consciousness? Totally beyond. And you realize none of this has to do with me. The real me, that which is totally beyond consciousness. That's the beginning of freedom. Real freedom. To be able to rest in that state of the absolute. And to know that you're unborn, uncreated. You neither come nor go. The world comes and goes. You remain. Body dies and you remain. All of consciousness dies and you remain. Can you feel this now? In yourself? This truth? That you are beyond the world? Beyond consciousness? Beyond your body? Beyond God? Beyond love? Know that you are there unborn, no attributes, no desire, complete. Then you can stay here for a long time, absorbed in that which is beyond the world, your true self nature. Like Ramana, you don't move for years. Sit on the floor of a cave. Insects eat your legs. You're glued to the floor with blood and pus. And you're totally beyond the world. You have to come and get your body and take it up to the temple and wash it, clean it, feed it. But you don't care. You don't care. You've seen your true nature and you see that consciousness is a mistake. Consciousness is hell. Consciousness is only sometimes bliss. But it contains such horrors in this world. You don't want to come back. Why would I want to come back to that? Had I known when I was born, I would have refused consciousness. I had no choice. And I didn't know. Gradually we come back. Slowly we rejoin the world. The I Am becomes reborn. And our compassion is reborn. Our love is reborn. And we're different. No longer care about ourselves. Because we've known the truth.